One of the aspects of the Lester E. Pipkin Expository Preaching Week that you will notice today and has been mentioned is that they will all preach from the same passage in 2 Timothy 3. Our speaker today, Ian McAllister, is a transfer student to us from Word of Life Bible Institute. When asked about what led him to Appalachian Bible College, Ian mentioned Dr. Anderson's ministry as an instructor at Word of Life, but also influence from past students whom he knew from his church association. Ian is from Groveport, Ohio, and his home church is Trinity Grace Brethren Church. And it was here where Ian felt God's call to preach and where, as a teenager, his pastor mentored him through those years. Ian is a senior in the Pastoral Biblical Languages program. He and Hannah Buckwalder are to be married on June the 7th of this year, and both he and Hannah will be serving here at ABC this summer. Ian, we look forward to hearing as you come and share the Word of God with us today.
The title of today's message is Serving God Acceptably by Becoming a Faithful Steward. I invite you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. As you consider this passage today, you may ask yourself, Ian, why did you pick this passage to preach on? And to that I would tell you that I did not pick the passage to preach on. You may also say to yourself, Ian, it feels like in this passage we're kind of jumping into the middle of a conversation. It kind of feels incomplete. To that I would tell you that we are jumping into the middle of a conversation. Well, maybe these thoughts haven't crossed your minds, and maybe they won't cross your mind. But I can assure you that when I looked at the passage that Dean G chose for us to preach on, these questions crossed my mind. Why in the world did he pick this passage? It feels incomplete, like we're jumping into the middle of a conversation. I just didn't understand it. But you know what? By God's grace, as I've studied this passage and prepared this message, I've come to realize the beauty of this passage and the wonderful truths that it holds for the Christian life. And today I pray and I hope that you will realize that beauty and those truths as well. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that you've blessed us with. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach from your word. Lord, I pray that as I preach, that you would give me the words to say, that you would help me to rely on your strength and not my own. Lord, I pray for those who are listening. I pray that I would communicate well and that they would be able to understand what your word is telling us. We thank you, Lord, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. There aren't many times when you get to listen in on a mentor discipling his pupil. Well, today we get that chance. Today we get to hear some of the exhortations that the Apostle Paul gives to his son in the faith, Timothy. In this passage, we get to hear Paul as he encourages Timothy and reminds Timothy of three gifts that he encourages Timothy to steward well. Here are the three gifts that Paul talks about. The first one is Paul's godly example. The second is godly instruction that Timothy has received throughout his life. And the third gift to steward well is godly wisdom, which Paul gives concerning Scripture. Let's read our passage now. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Paul's desire in this passage is to encourage Timothy to be strong in the midst of a wicked world by holding fast to the things that he has seen, the things that he's learned, and the things that he's believed. Paul's desire is that Timothy would steward the gift of Paul's godly example, the gift of godly instruction, and the gift of godly wisdom. First, we see that Paul reminds Timothy to steward the gift of Paul's godly example. Paul begins in verses 1 through 9 of chapter 3 by giving an overall description of the wicked world that we live in. In verses 1 through 9, he says this: "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." One of the main characteristics of the world that Paul lists is its growing self-centeredness. And Paul contrasts that characteristic with Timothy's faithful characteristics. In verses 10 and 11, Paul says this: "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Right after listing the wicked characteristics of the world, Paul commends Timothy for following Paul's godly example. Timothy, unlike many young believers today, was not so self-centered that he wasn't able to realize and recognize the godly examples around him. Timothy was faithful and humble in respect to his older teacher. And Timothy did this in spite of the growing wickedness of the world around him. When Paul says, "You've fully known these things about me," he's not saying only that Timothy has witnessed these things about Paul, but that Timothy has also taken these things and he's living them out in his own life. So answer this question within yourself. Are you a student like Timothy? When it comes to your teachers, are you humble enough to recognize their godly example in your life? Or are you too blinded by self-centeredness like the world? What are you doing to reflect the godly examples that are around you? Teachers, are you teachers like Paul? Do you recognize and commend your faithful students more than just giving them good grades? What are you doing to encourage godly behavior in your classroom? After commending Timothy for his faithful characteristics, Paul reminds him that following His godly example will come at a cost, the cost of persecution and affliction. In verse 12, Paul says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Persecutions and trials were not uncommon to the Apostle Paul. And this passage is not the only one where we see him talk about them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, Paul gives an extensive list of the many persecutions that he's endured because of his Christ-like testimony. Among those that he lists many labors, toil, hardship, sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often being without food, cold and without clothing, many imprisonments, awful beatings, 5 times receiving 39 lashes from the Jews, 3 times beaten with rods, and 1 stoned. Near-death experiences, 3 times he was shipwrecked, 1 spending a night and a day in the open sea. Dangers from rivers, robbers, his own people, Gentiles, the city, the wilderness, the sea, and false brothers. You know, this job description would discourage many people from following Paul's godly example. So then why does Paul remind Timothy of these things? Why does he even mention persecutions and trials if he wants Timothy to follow him in his godly example? Why does the Apostle Paul do that? I'd like to suggest that Paul is being faithful to what Jesus warned his disciples of. The fact that the Christian life is not always going to be full of bliss. It's not always going to be rainbows and snow cones. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." But aren't you thankful that Jesus didn't stop there? "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but take courage, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world." See, Paul was pleased that Timothy was stewarding his godly example by following it himself. I think that what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, is also applicable here. "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." So let me ask you this. How are you stewarding the godly examples around you? Are you taking time to learn from older believers? Are you making time to hear their personal testimonies of God's faithfulness in the midst of tribulation and hard times? Older believers, let me ask you this. Are you taking the time to share those testimonies of God's faithfulness? I've been blessed with a godly mentor in my own life. And I can assure you that as a young adult, I've not once left one of my meetings or conversations with him and felt discouraged that I spent that time listening to his testimonies. I've never once thought to myself, man, I really could have spent my time a lot better. I've always been encouraged by it. I can assure you, older believers, that the world is not encouraging these godly characteristics in the young believers around you. So what are you doing to encourage those godly characteristics? So first, Paul reminded Timothy to steward the gift of Paul's godly example, and he encouraged him to continue following it despite the growing wickedness in the world and despite persecution and suffering. Now in verses 13 through 15, we see Paul remind Timothy to steward the godly instruction that he has received throughout his life and the beliefs that he has come to as a result of that instruction. Paul reminds Timothy in verse 13 that evil men are only going to get worse. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Many times believers have fallen into the trap of thinking that, well, if I could only make men more morally aware, more morally upright, then real change would occur. But here in this verse, Paul refutes that idea. He reminds Timothy, wicked men are only going to become more wicked. The only way that a person can get better is through salvation in Jesus Christ. By knowing the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The best thing that we can do for lost men and women is share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Please don't let the physical needs distract you from the spiritual needs that they need saving from. Answer this question in your heart. How many times have I neglected to verbally share the gospel with someone because I feel like I've already done enough for them physically? It is one of the greatest tragedies that many believers have fallen into the trap of thinking that all I need to do is to show Jesus to the world by the way that I live my life. That's all I have to do. Now, I'm certainly not saying that the way we live our life has no consequence. The Bible is clear that our actions matter and that the way we live our life can greatly affect how unbelievers view our Savior. But Paul is clear in Romans that unbelievers need to hear the gospel. Romans 10, 14 through 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Certainly, be an example in the way that you live your life. But don't forget to tell people about Jesus. But instead of focusing too extensively on the evil man, Paul moves on by encouraging Timothy to look after his own spiritual life instead of being concerned about the growing wickedness around him. In verses 14 through 15, Paul reminds Timothy that Timothy is responsible for Timothy. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul reminds Timothy of his rich heritage of Christian instruction in his family. Timothy, you've learned a lot about the Bible. You remember your teachers. Even as a kid, you were taught what it meant to be saved, what it meant to follow Jesus. Timothy, I want you to continue in those things. I want you to nurture those things. Do not neglect that instruction which you have received. Remember Timothy, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Maybe you come from a rich heritage of Christian instruction in your own life. And you know what? Praise the Lord for that. But what are you doing to steward that gift of instruction? Have you neglected it? Or are you nurturing it? Maybe you don't come from a rich heritage of Christian instruction in your earthly family. Maybe you're a first-generation believer. And you know what? Praise the Lord for that as well. Because Paul says at the end of the day, you don't need a rich Christian heritage of instruction in your earthly family in order to be pleasing to the Lord. And this is Paul's third point, reminding Timothy that God's word is sufficient. In verses 16 through 17, we see the godly wisdom, the gift of godly wisdom concerning Scripture that Paul reminds Timothy to steward. The gift of godly wisdom. Paul reminds Timothy here that there is not one letter of Scripture that is somehow unimportant. All Scripture is inspired by God. Viewing God's Word this way is a product of godly wisdom. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's a sad error that many have come to in our day and age. When they come to God's Word ready to pick and choose what they like, what they want from it, what makes them feel good. They love the John 3:16s. Oh man, that verse is inspired. Makes me feel good. But you know what? When they come over to the doctrine, the reproof, correction, that stuff's not really inspired. I don't need that. It's like a person who goes to a food buffet. The problem with food buffets is that most people don't usually choose the healthiest options. Instead, the believer who is a good steward of God's Word comes to God's Word ready for a full meal. They come ready for a four-course meal. They start with an hors d'oeuvre of doctrine, followed by an appetizer of reproof. Then for the main course of correction. And finally ending the night, putting a sweet taste on their palate, the dessert of instruction in righteousness. Now I realize this example may sound silly to you, but seriously, how do you come to God's Word? Do you come to God's Word viewing it as all inspired by God? Or do you come to it like a food buffet, ready to pick and choose what you want, what makes you feel happy, what makes you feel good? How do you come to God's Word? Whether you've had a Bible your whole life or you were just given one yesterday, how are you stewarding that gift that God has given you? You see, our God wants to communicate with us. And He's done this through His Word. There's no part of Scripture that is somehow irrelevant or unnecessary. Now, before you guys think that I've taken something from Jeremiah's message, I haven't. The other day when he was preaching, I was really curious to see how much overlap there would be in the different commentaries we use or quotes, just different verses, things like that. I was really curious. And so far, throughout the whole message, There really wasn't that much overlap, which I was excited about. And then he said, Warren Wiersbe says this. And I looked over at Lorenzo and I said, man, he took the same quote I did. But it's so good that I'm still going to say it. Warren Wiersbe says that Scripture, the Scriptures are profitable for doctrine. What he says is right. What is right? For reproof, what is not right? For correction, how to get right? And for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. Paul says that at the end of the day, these prophets of Scripture are here to the end that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, Scripture is sufficient for our needs. Many people are searching for something other than Scripture to help them grow or to help them become a better Christian. But let me tell you that when you search for how to be a better Christian, more pleasing to our Heavenly Father, without looking to what He's told you, you fail miserably. If your first reaction when trials come your way is to look for the newest self-help book, the greatest podcast or blog or social media account for encouragement, then you're looking in the wrong place. So answer this question honestly within yourself. Have I been neglecting to steward the knowledge of the Scriptures which God has given me throughout my life? Like I said, whether you grew up with a Bible or received one yesterday, what are you doing to steward that gift? Today we had the opportunity to hear Paul's instruction to his young disciple Timothy. There aren't many times when we get to listen in on a mentor discipling his pupil. But today we got that chance. Aren't you thankful that God has included this in His Word? I don't know about you, but I certainly am. In our passage today, Paul reminded Timothy of three gifts from God to steward well. The first gift to steward was the gift of Paul's godly example, found in verses 10 through 12. Paul commended Timothy for following his example, and he encouraged him to continue following in it and reflecting that godly example in his own life, despite the tribulations that come along with it. Is there a godly example that you need to steward better today? The second gift to steward was the gift of the godly instruction that Timothy had received throughout his life, covered in verses 13 through 15. Paul reminded Timothy of his rich Christian heritage of instruction in his life. What godly instruction can you do a better job stewarding today? We aren't at a lack of godly instruction here. How can you do a better job stewarding that instruction? Finally, the third gift to steward was the gift of godly wisdom concerning Scripture, found in verses 16 through 17. Paul reminded Timothy to view Scripture, to view God's Word with godly wisdom, knowing that all Scripture is inspired by God, and to never forget its sufficiency. Are you stewarding God's Word well? Or do you just take what you want from it, what makes you feel good? Do you view God's Word with godly wisdom? knowing that it is sufficient for all your needs. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the opportunity that we've had to look at your word. Lord, I thank you for the Apostle Paul's instruction to Timothy. And I thank you that it's applicable to our lives. Lord, I thank you for the godly examples that you give us. And Lord, I pray today that we would reflect those godly examples, that we would follow them as they follow you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the godly instruction that we receive. Especially being here at ABC, I thank you for the teachers and the wisdom that we've heard. Lord, I pray that we would steward this instruction well, that we would nurture it in our own lives. Lord, finally, I thank you for your word and the godly wisdom that Paul shared concerning it, that all Scripture is inspired by God. Lord, I pray that we would look at your word, ready to learn and grow, not so that we would be a better Christian, but that we would be more pleasing to you and live the lives that you desire us to, that you've called us to. Lord, I thank you for this passage. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.